The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. The psalmist reminds us on this Harvest Sunday that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. And so we want to bid a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of Harvest Thanksgiving. However you are joining us today, we're so delighted that you can worship with us. So we welcome everybody here in the building, especially Mark and the choir. It's lovely to have them back with us at a social distance. And we also welcome those joining us on the live stream and those who will listen later, either by telephone or on the recording. We're delighted to have you with us today. And as people will know, our harvest celebrations have had to change somewhat. And we have the offerings of non-perishable foodstuffs outside the boxes are filling up, and those offerings will be going to the larder food bank during the week. Thank you for supporting this venture. Our harvest preacher, Bishop Michael Burrows, sends greetings from the Diocese of Cashel, Ferns and Loughlin, but due to the restrictions, he's unable to leave Kilkenny, where he lives. But instead, we're delighted to have our diocesan lay reader, Gillian, as our preacher this morning. So thank you to Gillian for stepping in at late notice. And we also want to say thank you to the Flower Guild for our lovely harvest arrangement. And also want to remind people this morning that our services of Thanksgiving and Remembrance, which take place next Sunday, are by invitation only. So if you could tune in by telephone or live stream or recording at either 11 or 7, and we thank people for their understanding with that service next week. So as we come together to worship God today, we're going to turn our thoughts heavenwards as the choir lead our opening hymn. The words will appear on the screen in front of you. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Thank you.
Our harvest service is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together on this Harvest Sunday to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm on this Harvest Sunday is a psalm that speaks of God's power over nature and creation, as the choir lead us by singing Psalm 65.
Thank you.
Our Bible reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 13th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Here ends our Bible reading. One of the things that this season of harvest encourages us to do is to think beyond ourselves. Hence, we have our collection of non-perishable food offerings this morning. Our collection will go to the Bishop's Appeal. And in the little video that we're going to see now, we're going to hear about some of the ministries of compassion right around the diocese in recent months. Our own parish has been involved in many of these initiatives. And as you watch this video, watch out for the branch leader of our Mothers Union.
When you look at the ministry of Jesus, it was one of words and works. He preached the kingdom and he demonstrated the kingdom. The two went hand in hand. One authenticated the other. And so compassion and preaching the gospel cannot ever be separated or divorced from each other. If God really loves people, if Christ really died for every person in every home surrounding this church, that isn't just a gospel message of words, it's got to be a gospel message of action and compassion.
A lot of people, for whatever reason, have barriers that prevent them coming to church or to be have any connection to a church. So when we can show people that, you know, we're not about, we want you into our church, we want you to sit in our seats, but we would just want to show you that we love you, that we care, and that if there's anything that we can do, we can help.
So really early on in lockdown, whenever the kind of lockdown first happened, a group of the key leaders and kind of people who were volunteers in the village all came together to try and come up with a kind of joint strategic approach to how we can best serve the community. Rather than the churches and the community centres all doing their own things really well, we thought it would be better if everyone came together and kind of had a bit of a joined up approach and pulling our time, pulling our resources, pulling our volunteer base together to kind of have a united approach to how we can reach out and serve the community here of which we are a part. So every Thursday we have been coming together here in the community centre. A whole team of us have been here to pack food parcels. So we have been receiving the council food bank parcels that are for people who have been shielding. And then we have our own emergency food bank that we set up here in the community centre. And all the food that you see around you has been donated by people here in the village. They can either bring food up to the community centre and leave it at the door, or they can leave food in the Eurospar in the middle of the village. And as you can see, the community have been so generous in their response.
As a church, we've, over a number of years, worked to really ingrain ourselves into the local community. We believe that as a church, an outworking of our faith is to play a real holistic role within the life of our local area. And so we do lots of things, not just on a Sunday in terms of worship services, but things right throughout the week that seek to address the needs of the local population. So we've got things like a music academy that runs that provides subsidised music lessons for children and adults in the area. And some of the music academy team go into local schools as well and take music lessons there. We've had funding through Active Belfast and produced a community health and fitness hub. So over about 3 years we've run a variety of fitness and nutritional programs for families, for young, for older ones. And even as lockdown has eased, we've done outdoor Zoom classes, spin classes, kettlebell classes and the likes of that. Currently we're running an outdoor mini boot camp once a week during the summer. And that's sort of rolled out of our desire to try and tackle holiday hunger. We have been planning at Easter and during the summer to provide hot meals on a Tuesday and on a Thursday. But of course, with all the current restrictions, we haven't been able to do that. And so we've moved it outdoors. We've taken a gazebo out onto a large green area in the middle of the estate. We do a mini boot camp for half an hour, and then we provide everyone with a packed lunch, courtesy of the Mothers Union. As we began to think through how can we make a difference during lockdown here, we thought, well, what are the immediate needs of families? And I guess one of the immediate needs we saw was we're simply day to day, just groceries, the ordinary things that people need every day, from breakfast cereal to washing up liquid to washing powder. And so we put aside somewhere between £3,500 and £4,000. We spoke to the management in Tesco, who are next door here, and we basically said, we have this much money, we want to do 100 food parcels. Can you maximize the amount of food for what we have? And they were brilliant. And they, a Tesco lorry arrived basically one evening. We unpacked it, and there was about £4,000 worth of food, enough food for 110 food parcels. So we unloaded it. Then a few nights later, about 20, 25 people arrived down here, and we had boxes and we boxed it all up. And then that was on the Monday night. Then on the Thursday night, about 30 people from church arrived with cars and vans, and we went out into the local community and distributed these boxes of groceries. There was one estate in particular, which we were in the middle of lockdown and isolation, but this little housing development was the most isolated place I think I'd ever seen. There was one road in and one road out, and maybe 20 little houses in it, and that was it. Just basically derelict ground around them. People who have lived here all their lives, none of us had ever heard of this estate. And we went there, and out of the 20 houses, just every single one of them was so appreciative of everything that they got. They couldn't believe that people would actually care enough to drive up and hand them a box full of essential groceries. You know, one of the comments I got on a Facebook message from one of the people we gave a food parcel to was this: I can't believe a church would give anything to those that weren't their own members. And sadly, that's the perception of a lot of people out there, that the church will look after their own, but they won't look after anyone else. And not one person on our list was part of our own church. And for me, that was one of the blessings. And so I think it stirred us up. It got us mobilized in the middle of a time when everyone was locked out. And it also stirred us up to realize the possibility and potential of continuing to engage in the community and see lives transformed with the gospel of Jesus.
There was one particular lady who had lost her husband just prior to lockdown happening. And so whenever, obviously, everyone in lockdown, she was very isolated. And I was on the phone to her doing pastoral phone calls over the phone, as lots of ministers have been doing in these days. And she mentioned to me that she had been knitting rainbows. And so I phoned around a few of our craft ladies in the church and got them on board. And everyone then started knitting rainbows along with the woman who was doing it in her own home. And we made these little tags to go along with them. It just says, God keeps his promises. And on the back, it says, always hold on to hope. You know, may God bless you and keep you. And so we had the little rainbows that she was knitting. Here, we made some of them into little keychains. And we left these into the local hospitals. in the prayer rooms of the hospitals, just as a way of blessing the local community and saying, you know what, it's a difficult time, it's a dark time, but always hold on to hope because God keeps his promises. And so out of one woman's pain and grief, God has brought something really beautiful out of that, that's been able to bless people who we don't even know. Well, you know, we always believe that church is more than just a building, and this season has really shown that. As important as our church buildings are, and they are important, but church is more than a building. So even when the buildings are closed, the church is still very much being the church. We're still being the hands and feet of Jesus in the community around us. And in many ways, maybe made people think outside of the box, and maybe made people reflect a little bit more on what is the mission and ministry of the church, and how can we do that in really practical ways, whether it's making a home-cooked meal and delivering it to somebody, whether it's lifting the phone and giving somebody a call and saying, how are you, how can I pray for you, and whether it's going and sitting in somebody's back garden and having a socially distant chat with them, or whether it's knitting rainbows and taking those and delivering those out to people who are going through some really difficult times. Just, you know, it's our heart, it's to share something of our heart as a church for the community that we're part of, that we want to not only be the church on the hill, but we want to be a light on the hill, and we want to show and share God's love in practical ways. And if we've done even a small amount of that in this season, well then it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
Everybody has something to give. The reason why I'm involved in what I am is years ago I found myself in a situation where I was separated from my husband. I was on my own with three small kids. I was in emergency housing, had no income, had no real sort of support, and it was the church that was there providing, because different charities couldn't help me because, again, I wasn't in their boundaries, I didn't tick their boxes. But the church stepped up and they filled all the needs that I needed, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. And now, because of that, I can help people in the same situation. And everybody has a life that they've lived. They've all gone through circumstances. And that's what God uses, you know, to help and meet other people in that same place. The Bible's full of broken people that God used in amazing ways. And we're just the same. And we all have something of value to give, even if we can't see it. God sees it in us.
So as we see all those practical stories, and I know so many people here have been involved in those practical stories, today is a good day on this Harvest Sunday to celebrate those good things. And those really important phone calls and messages that people have been sending. And as we give thanks to God for his goodness on this Harvest Sunday, the choir are now going to lead us in a canticle of praise, the Te Deum, part one.
Oh,
So now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the God who loves us as we join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for Harvest Thanksgiving. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness and give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory for the relief of those in need and for our own well-being, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we're going to share together in the first and third collects of morning prayer, which you'll see above you. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
O God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage. For Christ's sake. Amen. In the early 1900s, an Italian economist called Vilfredo Pareto observed that 80% of the land was owned by 20% of the people, and 80% of a country's wealth was held by 20% of the people. Pareto even applied this to his garden, where he found that 80% of his peas came from 20% of his pea pods. This has become known as the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 principle, a rule of thumb guide to the imbalance that occurs in many avenues of life. Now, of course, 80 and 20 as numbers aren't meant to be strictly applied. But the important thing is that in our lives, there are certain activities that we do, about 20%, that account for the majority, about 80% of our happiness and success. And this principle has been applied to church life as well. For example, about 80% of the volunteer time in a congregation comes from 20% of the people. About 20% of the congregation provide 80% of the finance. And so we could go on. In today's reading from Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus telling the parable of the sower. I wonder, is Jesus giving us another example of Pareto's principle? Because if you think about it, in the parable, 75% of the seed failed to bear any fruit and was wasted, while only 25% brought an extremely good harvest. Now, usually Jesus' parables are set in a context that give the reader a clue as to what the parable might be about, but not this time. Out of the blue, Jesus starts, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." And he finishes, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." There is no hint to what it's about, and the deeper meaning that a parable is meant to reveal about the kingdom of God or about God's grace, no hint at all. And so, along with the disciples, we ask, what is Jesus trying to say in this parable? We've heard this story so many times. And yes, we have Jesus' own explanation of the parable further on in Matthew chapter 13. But even then, Jesus doesn't conclude saying something like, "Be like the good soil," or "Be among the 25% who hear the word and understand it." Nor does he say, "Avoid being like the rocky soil or the thorny soil, where the word of God is so easily choked out and made useless to the hearer." None of this is in the text. I'm sure you've heard many, many sermons on the different soils, the way the word of God is received, and the dangers that we can easily fall into that make us less likely to be the good soil. God throws out the seed of his word to all. No one is left out. There is something all-embracing and universal about this parable. The seed is cast over all types of soil. All of humanity is included. All are given the opportunity to respond to the Father's love. However, in the end, what Jesus simply describes in the parable is reality. When God casts out his love, by and large, it's unproductive. About 75% of the time, it meets hostility, unresponsiveness, discouragement, laziness, and a lack of trust. And 25% of the times, it really achieves something. And that's just as true in our own personal lives as the church as a whole. So the question is, what is the point of telling a story that is mostly about failure? Indeed, some people might even find this parable of Jesus very discouraging. As the disciples went about preaching and baptizing in the early church, not only did they meet strong support, but also some very powerful opposition. In fact, the opposition to the word they were speaking was so strong, they endangered their lives. And it was the same for Jesus. A large group of his followers dropped away as he preached and taught them about the kingdom of God. Now, there are a number of things that this parable tells us about sowing the seeds of God's love. But this morning, I just want very briefly to look at three. First of all, Jesus is giving us a reality check when it comes to sharing God's love in a hostile world. And you know, today's world is no different to the world the disciples lived in when it comes to receiving the good news about Jesus Christ. If we are expecting success every time we speak about God's love or run an activity or a study session with the aim of sharing God's love, well, don't be disappointed if it isn't successful in a way that can be measured. We may even think that we have run a very effective event, only to find that we can see very little fruit for all our effort. Maybe Jesus is giving us an example of the 80-20 principle to remind us that the opposition to God's love in the world is strong, and there is plenty of hard, rocky, and weedy ground, more than we realize. Maybe Jesus is reminding us that we shouldn't be discouraged if we don't achieve success or even get off the ground in everything we attempt to do in sharing God's love. Jesus reminds us in this parable that sharing God's love is never going to be easy with quick results. In fact, at times it will be downright frustrating, as it must have been for the farmer as he looked for a harvest on the weedy and rocky ground. At times it might even seem that things are going backwards more than forwards, just like the farmer as he looked for the germinating seeds and saw only one small patch. So that's the first thing. Jesus is giving us a reality check. The second thing that I want to highlight this morning is that in the parable, there is a harvest. We are told still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. There are successes. And we praise God for those times when we see people respond to God's love for them. And some of those who respond will only do so at some time in the future, at a time and a place that will be unknown to us. But the seed has been planted, and the Holy Spirit will nurture that seed. And at some time, there will be a harvest as that person responds to the love of God in Jesus Christ. In the end, in spite of our failings, and in spite of the hostility and apathy of the world around us toward Christ, there will be a harvest, and a mighty harvest it will be. And this leads me to the third and final point I want to make, and it's this. God keeps on liberally supplying the seed. There may be a limit to our energy. There may be a limit to our patience as we wait for results. There may be a limit to our love as we are tested to how far we can go, to our commitment to keep on going. But there's one thing for sure. There is no limit on what God can do through the outpouring of his love through us. No limit. in spite of the apparent poor success rate of sowing the seed and getting it to reach the point of harvest, God will keep on sowing. And we are privileged as individuals and as his church to be part of that. So then, bringing this to a conclusion, what does this mean in practice for us? Well, it means go on serving those who are sick and elderly, and encourage them with God's word of love and hope. Keep on teaching your children and your grandchildren. Continue to be a part of the prayer group, to teach Sunday school, to be involved in messy church, even though these activities have to be done differently at the moment. Have faith that the current situation will change. And when it does, and when restrictions are eventually lifted, return to your life group, or maybe join one for the first time. Return to your organizations. Encourage others with the promises of God. And above all, keep the vision that God will do his work in his field in his own time. There will be a harvest. It is not for us to determine who will successfully grow and who won't. We are simply called to assist the farmer in casting the seed. God, the farmer, will continue to keep on scattering the seed of his love over everyone. And we are privileged to help create this everlasting garden. And so we pray, God, give us ears to hear your word. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for the seed of faith you have sown within us, and for the way it has grown across the years. You now call us to share your word with others and make known your love. We confess that though we try to respond to that challenge, we find it so hard. Often when we speak of you, we are met with indifference, even hostility. Sometimes in our hearts, we give up, no longer expecting lives to be changed by your word. Teach us to look beyond appearances and to recognize that though we may not always see it, the seed we may sow bears fruit in unexpected ways and places. That though much will fall in barren soil, some will find fertile ground and in the fullness of time bear a rich harvest. Help us to trust not in our ability, but in your life-giving power, confident that if we play our part, you will play yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in this Harvest Sunday, we give thanks to God for all his love and care, for supplying our daily needs. And we pray that we may never take his gifts for granted, but receive them always with thanksgiving and use them wisely and responsibly. Almighty God, we are taught by your word that for our daily needs we are dependent not on the work of people's hands, but also on your providence and fatherly care. And so we praise you at this time for your gifts to us in nature and for the labors of those by whom the harvest is gathered in. Make us thankful for all that we receive and teach us that in the whole of life We are workers together with you, the author and giver of all good things, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have so much, an abundant variety of gifts. Yet we know that there are millions in our world who have less than enough. Those who suffer starvation and want. So we ask God to forgive our selfishness, our indifference, and to make us sensitive to the needs of others. Lord of the harvest, we rejoice in the bounty of your world. We thank you for the rich harvests it produces. As we do so, we remember those who do not have enough, the thousands who are daily dying of hunger. We pray for those who have more than they require, for ourselves and our churches. Show us what needs to be done and how to share the world's harvest more fairly. Teach us to value people more than things. And above all, help us to set our hearts on your kingdom of love and justice and to seek to do your will as servants of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in a moment of quietness, let us remember before God those known to us who are ill at this time and those facing surgery in the coming days. Let us remember too those affected by the current situation, especially the bereaved and those whose livelihood is threatened. O Lord, hear our prayer, and let our cry come unto thee. The seed is sown, the kingdom is growing, the harvest will come. Loving God, we praise you for that knowledge, and we offer you now our love, our faith, and our service. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So as we reflect on Gillian's powerful words and we think of that principle of the importance for all of us of sowing the seed of God's love. That's the theme of our next hymn as the choir will lead us in singing Holy is the Seed Time.
Thank you.
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May the Lord our God open his storehouse of heaven and send his healing and blessing on our land. Bless us in the city, bless us in the country, bless our homes with peace and harmony, our farms with crops, our orchards with fruit. May he bless our industries with employment, our commerce with trade, and our government with wisdom. May he bless us in our coming in and going out, and help us to be obedient to his will. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. So just before we sing our closing hymn, can I just remind people, please, to remain in your seats until the stewards indicate that we can leave, and then we make our way towards either the lawn or the car park where we can have conversations with all that we meet on this day. Can I also say how wonderful it has been to have the organ and the choir back with us. We're so pleased to have you, and thank you so much for leading our worship so beautifully this morning. And also to say a very special thank you to Gillian for that most inspiring Harvest sermon. And as I say, we need to watch Gillian in case she's called to be the Bishop of Clogher. So thank you for staying with us in the meantime. So the choir are going to lead us in our closing hymn, that wonderful harvest hymn, We Plough the Fields and Scatter.